discussing the laws of Rosh Hashanah, we were discussing eating the fruits, and the question is, when do you eat them? So we discussed, some say, right after Amotzi, that's the better custom as far as halacha goes. Some say before Amotzi, and that's a little problematic. What we have to be careful is that the Yehi Ratzon doesn't interfere in between the blessing and eating the fruit. Whenever you make a blessing, you have to eat the fruit right away. You made a Bor Priya, eat, take a bite from the fruit. Now, you could say the Yehi Ratzon before you eat the fruit, or after you've taken a bite of the fruit. But not in between the blessing and eating the fruit. And here, well, may mention another point. People sometimes err, and they make a blessing, Borei Priya eats, and then a Shechionu, and then they eat from the fruit. No. Either make the Shechionu before the blessing, or after you took the first bite. But not in between the blessing and eating the fruit. That's not the preferable way.
Of course, it's very...
A lot of people may... Right? But we also have to know. I mean, people sometimes come to my house. They say shahakol niyabidbar on a cup of water, and then they ask me, is this sink water, is this bottled water? Technically, after you made the bracha, if you talk, you have to make another bracha.
Maybe take in the laboratory for analysis.
So we have to know. Any pause, when someone makes kiddush, if after they made kiddush, you spoke, you cannot drink from that wine. Even if they drank from the wine. If you're yotzei and they're blessing over the wine, you have to drink without talking. Same thing with the bread. Someone makes hamotzi. You talk before you got the bread, you have to make another hamotzi. That's about washing hands, not hamotzi. That's washing hands. When you made hamotzi,
yeah,
lechem min haaretz, you can't talk. Say that?
What's the maximum time that I would get out of saying bracha to eat?
That's a different point. If we're dealing with getting the food, so we pause in silence.
Even if you didn't need to get the food, just stand there.
If you're standing here holding a cup and you say Shakol Nia Bidvaro, and then you wait 3, 4, 5 seconds, then you're right, the blessing doesn't work.
Yeah.
On the blessing on bread during a meal, till you get the bread, that's okay, he ate from it. The one who made the blessing ate from it, so then the pause can be extended, so long as I'm silent. The same thing with Kiddush. He made the blessing, I finished Kiddush, took a sip without waiting 4 or 5 seconds, so even though I'm waiting sometimes half a minute till I get my cup, it's okay. It's not ideal, but it's okay because he sipped right away and I didn't talk in the interim. The second I talked, it's no good. Yeah.
Why didn't I talk? Because he fulfilled the whole of the ritual.
No problem. You could talk, but then you can't drink from the wine. You could talk.
Mm-hmm.
After he drank from the wine, the one who made kiddush drank from the wine, you could talk.
Well, I fulfilled my obligation.
You fulfilled your obligation, but then you can't drink based on his blessing.
Okay.
That you could do. Okay, so we said some people make the blessing, eat from the fruit, and then say the Yiratzon and the verses. And then after the Yiratzon, they finish the fruit. And they say, before I ask God for my needs, let me make the blessing thanking God for the fruit. Let me, so to speak, take care of my godly obligation. I'll thank God for the fruit. I'll take a bite, and then I'll ask my request and then finish eating the thing. It doesn't matter which way you go. So long as you have the right intent, it doesn't matter. Everything, the two options we said are acceptable halachically. Saying the yiratzon initially, saying the yiratzon after the first bite, doesn't matter. Just don't say the yiratzon between the blessing and eating the fruits, and eating whatever food it is. Our custom is to dip the amotzi in honey. He quotes a custom to dip it in sugar is also okay. That could make sense because the word dvash, I never heard of it, but he quotes it. The word dvash in Tanakh doesn't only mean honey, it means anything sweet. Rashi writes that in Shir
Shir. But not sugar.
Okay.
Not sugar.
Their sugar was cane sugar. And nonetheless, it is proper to have salt on the table. Some also dip in salt, Kabbalistically. But at least the salt should be on the table. The Tosfos writes that when we wash our hands and we can't talk, and then we come to the table, till Hamotzi, so then the Satan says, look at those Jews, they're not talking Torah, they're not doing any mitzvahs, they're just sitting there like lame ducks, they don't do anything. So in order to prevent us from this lame duck period, we bring salt to the table. And then the Tosfos quotes a Midrash, the salt goes up before God and protects us. What does it protect us? So that's a deeper concept. How salt is something that never goes sour, I mean, never rots. And salt represents a covenant between God and us.
Yes.
And that covenant is there even when we're silent. And obviously there's more to be said, but now we're learning halacha. Some have the custom not to eat sour fruits. So some people won't put pickles in the salad. And some people have the custom not to put vinegar or eat anything that's sour or any fruits that aren't fully ripened. It's a good custom on the night of Rosh Hashanah to eat meat, fatty meat, that's sweet. And other sweet foods, it's all the sign, as we discussed last time, why we do all these signs. It's a way of starting off on the right foot. It's customary to learn on the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's easy to learn the tractate of Rosh Hashanah itself. It has some nice stories. The Art Scroll Master has it inside another Masdorim. And if you learn a chapter each meal, you have four meals on average Rosh Hashanah. There are four chapters in the tractate Rosh Hashanah. So you could cover all tractate Rosh Hashanah at the table. It's a good custom. It's good educationally for your kids. Those of you who want, all of Rosh Hashanah is online. We learned it together here a year or two ago. So you could learn it. It's an easy Masechet. This is a good custom. Those who do it, do it. There's Talmud on it. We're talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is printed in the Mishnayot. Yeah. Okay. Let's end with one more thing. There exists a Jerusalem Talmud that says that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah by day, then your mazel, your representation in heaven, goes to sleep. So some people don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah by day. But according to the Kabbalah, it's okay to go to sleep in the afternoon, and no one finishes their prayer and eating before the afternoon. So don't worry about it. You could all be Kabbalists one day in the year. Go to sleep in the afternoon. Anyways, if you're going to be careful about this and you're going to be cranky, so then it's considered a bad sign to be cranky on Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not sure you gained anything. And people can say things that are not nice if they're cranky. So at the bottom line, I would sleep. And if you're not going to sleep, so at least you should know it's only on the first day that this applies. On the second day you could sleep, don't worry about it. And if you're going to say, well, I'm not going to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because it says in the Jerusalem Talmud that if you sleep, your mazel goes to sleep. So if you're really worried about that, then you really have to wake up at the crack of dawn, because otherwise you're sleeping by day anyways. And no one does that, so I wouldn't worry about sleeping. But if you're going to worry about it, at least do like the Arizal. Go to sleep in the afternoon. And remember what it says. If you're sitting doing nothing, that's the equivalent to being sleeping. When you sit and do nothing, if you're not learning or doing anything, that's the equivalent to sleeping.
So, I don't understand. Don't sleep at night or at day?
By day.
At day.
Right. The idea is by day. What? No. I wouldn't worry about a roll together. But if you're going to worry about it, then the idea is by day before noon. Okay.